Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Into the Killing. If you've never listened before, thanks for checking us out, and hopefully you'll go back and listen to previous episodes. If this is not your first episode, then thank you for coming back and listening again. This week's tragic case happened on the second last week of summer of 1982. That summer, a man broke into Buckingham Palace and made it into the Queen's bedroom. The Queen was in bed at the time. Italy defeated West Germany to win the FIFA World Cup. The first CDs were manufactured, and the newspaper USA Today was founded. The last week of summer, the top song on the Billboard chart was Abracadabra by the Steve Miller Band. The top movie at the box office was Steven Spielberg's classic E.T. the Extraterrestrial. It was its 16th non-consecutive week at the number one spot. Kellyanne Prosser was 8 years old, and she was in the 3rd grade. She was a happy and chatty child. She was very artistic. She liked to draw pictures, and she made macaroni art. Kelly lived with her mother, Linda, her stepfather, Larry, her older brother, Keith, and her older sister, Christina, in Columbus, Ohio. On the morning of September 20th, 1982, it was gray and raining in Columbus, so Kelly left for school wearing a blue, reversible raincoat. That afternoon, Kelly watered all the flowers in her classroom. Kelly used to walk home from school with her siblings. But that year, both of her siblings were attending different schools. Kelly's mother, Linda, worked near her school, so that year, Linda had been picking up Kelly after school. Kelly wanted to walk home alone after school, and on September 20th, Linda agreed to let her. They had planned for her to walk down a street that was usually busy with other students walking home, and there were plenty of shops. Kelly was also familiar with the street. Kelly should have arrived home at about 4 p.m., Kelly's stepfather wasn't working at the time, so he was home that afternoon. Kelly's siblings, Keith and Christina, arrived home, and they noticed that Kelly wasn't home. They all assumed that Kelly was with their mother. Kelly's mother had gone to the dentist around the time the children were arriving home. So when Kelly didn't come home, they assumed her mother picked her up and they were together. When Linda returned home, they realized that Kelly wasn't with her. Linda and Larry started to panic. Linda called around to see if anyone had seen Kelly. Larry drove around the neighborhood looking for her. After Linda finished calling people, she looked around the neighborhood herself. She came across a police officer and explained to him that Kelly was missing. The officer told her to call the police station and report her missing to the Juvenile Bureau. Linda did just that, and a few officers started looking for Kelly, but no major searches were conducted that night. A more extensive search was launched the next day. But still, no trace of 8-year-old Kelly Prosser was found. Tips came in to the police, and several people suggested a suspect. He was a 63-year-old man who had a warrant out for him for molesting an 11-year-old girl. The incident happened the day before Kelly went missing. Several people said that they saw the man with a girl who looked like Kelly around the time she went missing. Also, a canine unit involved in the search went up to the man's front door and then tried to get into his backyard. The man had a wife, and she told the police that he had gone to West Virginia because there was an illness in his family. She was hazy about a lot of the details about his trip, like when he left. She thought he left the night before or the morning before Kelly went missing. She also didn't know exactly where he went in West Virginia. The police talked to the man's daughter, and she said that he had been with her until about 5 p.m. on the day Kelly vanished. The police thought it was suspicious that the man would pick up and leave town around the same time that Kelly vanished. The police got a search warrant for his home, but found nothing of interest. Around 8:30 p.m. on the night after Kelly went missing, a young woman called the police. Her father was a prominent lawyer in London, Ohio, which is about 27 miles from downtown Columbus. The woman said her father had found a blue raincoat on a rural road in Madison County. Columbus is in Franklin County, and Madison County is the neighboring county. When the lawyer found the raincoat, he was picking up his housekeeper. He pulled over and picked up the raincoat. His wife saw the jacket in the car later that day. She told the housekeeper to take it because one of her nieces might be able to use it. Later that night, their daughter found out about Kelly's disappearance, and she learned that she might have been wearing a blue raincoat. So she called the police. The police collected the jacket and showed it to Kelly's mother. She confirmed it was her daughter's raincoat. The lawyer showed the police where he found the coat. The police and other agencies started to search the area where the raincoat was found. But nothing of interest was found that night. The next afternoon, about 45 hours after Kelly left school, her body was found in a cornfield a few rows from the road. Her body was fully clothed. The medical examiner determined that she had been sexually assaulted, beaten, and strangled to death.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
The day after the body was found, the only suspect in the case returned from West Virginia and he turned himself in. The police searched his car and they found nothing incriminating. The man was questioned and he was adamant that he was in West Virginia when Kelly was killed. The police did some investigating. One reason people suspected the man is because several people said that they saw a man matching his description with a girl who looked like Kelly around the time that Kelly went missing. But a man had called in and he said that the witnesses most likely saw him with his granddaughter. He was walking on the same street Kelly would have been walking on around the time that Kelly was kidnapped. Eventually, the police were able to clear the man as a suspect in the murder of Kelly Prosser. Another suspect was a man that the police only called Gary. Gary had a daughter who was apparently friends with Kelly. Gary's friends and family said that he was in the same area where Kelly went missing. Gary even told several family members that he had killed Kelly. Gary had been arrested for molesting his daughter. Shortly after Gary was arrested, he took his own life. The police were able to get a DNA sample from Gary, and he was ruled out as a suspect. The police continued to investigate Kelly's murder for years. They said that the case was never inactive. What is even more disturbing is that Kelly was not the only girl who was kidnapped and murdered in that area during the early 1980s. Between June 1980 and September 1982, 9 girls from within 150 miles of each other were kidnapped and murdered. The first murder happened 2 years before Kelly was killed. On June 3, 1980, 8-year-old Asenath Ducott went missing as she was walking home from school in Upper Arlington, Ohio. Her body was found in a drainage ditch a few hours later. She had died from blunt force trauma to the head. 10 days later, 8-year-old Tiffany Papish vanished from Maple Heights, which is a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. She has never been found dead or alive. 4 months after that, on October 17, 1980, 14-year-old Tammy Seals was delivering newspapers in Cleveland. Tragically, she never made it home. Her nude body was found months later in February 1981 in an abandoned house. She had been bound and raped. She was either strangled or suffocated. 9 months later, on July 22, 1981, 14-year-old Joanne Hebert was using a payphone outside of a grocery store in Dublin, Ohio. The store was about a mile from her home. When she didn't come home, her family reported her missing. Joanne's body was found just over 2 months later by a hunter in a wooded area. She died from blunt force trauma to the head. On October 12, 1981, 9-year-old Demita Sullivan went missing while walking in Akron, Ohio. Her body was found in a shallow grave 6 months later in April 1982, about a block from her home. A cause of death could not be determined. Just weeks after Demita vanished, 12-year-old Tina Marie Harmon disappeared while walking home in Creston, Ohio. Her body was found 5 days later. She had been sexually assaulted and strangled to death. Nearly 9 months later, on July 17, 1982, Krista Harrison was seen getting pulled into a car in Marshallville, Ohio. Her body was found 6 days later. She had been sexually assaulted and strangled to death. 2 months later, Kelly Prosser was kidnapped and strangled to death. Finally, 9 days later, on September 29, 1982, Don Marie Hendershot went missing while walking home in Massillon, Ohio. With so many girls of similar age being killed and disappearing, could the murders and the disappearances be the work of a serial killer or serial killers? Slowly, over the years, some of the murders were solved. The first one to be solved was the last one that was committed. Don Marie Hendershot vanished while walking home on September 29, 1982. Her body was found 3 days later in a wooded area. She had been strangled, suffocated, and shot in the back. A neighbor who lived across the street, 28-year-old Donald Lee Maurer, had confessed to the murder, and he was the one who led the investigators to the body. In March 1983, Maurer was convicted of killing her. He was sentenced to death. But in 1991, Maurer's death sentence was commuted to life in prison. The police investigated Maurer to see if he committed the other murders, but they found no evidence that he was involved. In June 1981, a 24-year-old stockroom worker named Orlando Morales was convicted of killing 14-year-old Tammy Seals. Tammy had gone missing in October 1980 and was found dead in an abandoned house. Morales was given 2 life sentences. His conviction was highly controversial because there was no physical evidence that connected him to the murder. He was convicted based off the testimony of a jailhouse snitch. Many people believe he is innocent, and the Ohio Innocence Project has been supporting him for years. But yet, he remains behind bars. In 1983, a man named Brandon Lee Flagner confessed to the murder of Tiffany Pappish while he was in prison in Texas, serving time for molestation and burglary. Flagner was convicted of the murder in June 1985, 5 years after Tiffany disappeared. He was sentenced to life in prison. Tiffany's remains have never been found.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line, simplified.
In October 1983, a 43-year-old worker from Akron's plumbing department named Robert Buell was arrested after kidnapping, torturing, and raping a woman. She escaped from his house when he went to work. After Buell was arrested, the police checked his van and they found an orange carpet. 14 months before Buell was arrested, 11-year-old Krista Harrison was kidnapped and murdered. Her body was wrapped in a blanket, and an unusual bag was wrapped around her legs. On the blanket and Krista's body, investigators found nutmeg or orange-colored polyester fibers. They were compared to the fibers that made up the carpet in the van. They were remarkably similar. Also, the police determined that the unique bag covered car seats that were sold by Sears. Only 23 people in northern Ohio purchased those seats. Robert Buell was one of those people. In April 1984, Robert Buell was convicted of killing Krista Harrison. He was sentenced to death. He spent 18 years on death row, and then in September 2002, at the age of 62, he was executed via lethal injection. He went to his grave claiming he didn't kill Krista. 8 years later, a DNA match would definitely prove that Buell killed at least one girl. That was 12-year-old Tina Marie Harmon. She went missing from Crescent, Ohio, 9 months before Krista was killed. Her body was found 5 days later. She had been sexually assaulted and strangled to death. In April 1987, the body of Christina Parrish was found buried in the backyard in Akron, Ohio. She was not one of the 9 girls we listed because those girls were kidnapped between 1980 and 1982. Christina, who was pregnant, went missing 2.5 years before her body was found in September 1987. Her body was found a short distance away from where Demita Sullivan's body was found in April 1982. The investigators noticed many similarities between the graves. They concluded that the same man killed both girls and buried both bodies. The police started interviewing people who lived in the neighborhood where the bodies were found. Several of them suggested talking to 22-year-old Richard Phillips. Phillips confessed to the murders. He said that he beat Demita Sullivan to death with a rake because she was bothering him while he was working. He killed Christina during an argument about her getting an abortion. He strangled her to death. In July 1987, Phillips pleaded guilty to both murders. He was sentenced to 2 consecutive terms of 15 years to life. That left the murders of 8-year-old Asiath Ducott, 14-year-old Joanne Hebert, and 8-year-old Kelly Prosser unsolved. Also, many people believe that the murder of Tammy Seals is unsolved because they think Orlando Morales is innocent. Besides the Tammy Seals case, the police continued to work on these cases with the hopes that they would be solved. In 2014, Kelly's killer's DNA was entered into the FBI's combined DNA index system, which is simply known as CODIS. But no match was found. So the case remained cold. In 2019, the Columbus Police Department was looking for new ways to contribute to the solvability of cold cases. One avenue that they thought could help was to release a podcast because it would bring public awareness to the cases. For the first case of their podcast, The Fifth Floor, they decided to cover a case that everyone who had worked on the case felt a personal connection to. They all wanted it solved. That was the murder of Kellyanne Prosser. The podcast was popular in Northern Ohio, but it did not directly lead to the case being solved. Instead, the investigators contacted Advanced DNA, a forensic genetic genealogy company, to help identify the killer. It eventually led them to a man named Harold Warren Jarrell. Jarrell was 53 years old at the time of Kelly's murder. Jarrell was born in 1929 in West Virginia. He was one of 7 children. Throughout his life, Jarrell was either married or in a long-term relationship with 4 women. He had children with 2 of the women. But no one in Jarrell's family had much contact with him. They had all cut off ties with him because they thought he was a bad person. Jarrell had served in the Marine Corps. Sometime in the 1950s, Jarrell moved to Columbus, Ohio. Throughout his life, Jarrell moved around often. For example, in the 1970s, he was living in Houston, Texas. He also lived in California, Kentucky, and Nevada. The police have reports from women who said that Jarrell molested them or attempted to molest them. It appeared that everywhere he lived, Jarrell preyed on women and girls. Jarrell had a lengthy criminal history. He was first arrested for assault and battery in Columbus, but the date of that arrest isn't clear. In 1954, he was arrested again for assault and battery, but this time it was on a minor. The arrest happened in Boston, Massachusetts. In 1961, Jarrell was arrested in Memphis, Tennessee, for aiding and abetting prostitution. 7 years later, he was arrested in Little Rock, Arkansas, for disturbing the peace. In 1971, in Columbus, Jarrell was arrested for felonious assault during the commission of a sex crime. In September 1977, Jarrell approached an 8-year-old girl and a 10-year-old girl who were sitting alone in a market. He offered them money if they would help him hand out flyers. The 8-year-old agreed, and she went with Jarrell to his car. In the car, Jarrell sexually assaulted her. Afterward, he gave her $20 and he returned her to the market. The crime was reported, and days later, the girl picked Terrell out of the lineup. In May 1978, Terrell was convicted of gross sexual imposition instead of rape. He was sentenced to 2 to 5 years of prison. He was released in January 1982, about 8 months before Kelly's murder. Terrell had not been a serious person of interest or a suspect at the time. But in 2014, an anonymous person called Crime Stoppers and suggested him as a suspect. The detective assigned to the case investigated the lead, but he didn't have much luck. Also, the name that the tipster gave was incorrect. They said that the man's name was Warren Jarrells, with an S at the end. Kelly's family had never heard of Harold Warren Jarrell, so the police believe it was a stranger abduction. Jarrell couldn't face justice for what he did to Kelly because he died in August 1996 in Las Vegas, Nevada. He was 67 years old. Nevertheless, after 38 years, the police consider the murder of Kellyanne Prosser solved. The police think that Harold Warren Jarrell may have committed other murders, but so far, they have not been able to connect him to any other murders. Kellyanne Prosser's family released a statement. In part, it reads, "Our family has spent many long years waiting for Kellyanne's murder to be solved. But Kelly's family is not unique. Those who have suffered the murder of their loved one knows how devastating waiting for answers can be. Nor are we the only family who has laid awake at night, hoping and praying that their missing child would be returned home safely. Today is one of those bittersweet moments that has been a long time coming. Thank you, Columbus Police, for never giving up. Thank you for never forgetting about this innocent child. And thank you for never forgetting that you are working for Kellyanne. Today you have given us the most incredible gift. And this gives us hope that other homicide cold cases will be solved." Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. As always, our producer, sound designer, and fact-checker was Adele Clouillet. If you just discovered this podcast, please check out our YouTube channel, Criminally Listed. We have over 300 videos, and most videos feature 3 strange but true crime stories. You can find it at youtube.com/criminallylisted. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe or follow so you don't miss any future episodes. But that's all for this week. Thank you again for listening. Please stay safe and take care of yourself.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.